Hello everyone, this is Songs from a Room, an intimate singer-songwriter showcase where I, Bob Palos, invite very talented artists to the podcast for a one-on-one. We'll learn a little about each artist, what inspires them, what brought them to play the music they play, and the moments that led them to write the songs they wrote. Then finally, to play me a song from a room.
That's good.
Yeah, it's promising. It's like the second company I've been interviewing with. So, and what else did I do? Showered, shaved.
And now you're here.
Scooted over here.
We're here with, how do I pronounce your last name? Lavishay?
Avishai.
Avishai.
It's spelled wrong in English.
It's spelled wrong in English.
Yeah.
But it's pronounced Michael Avishai.
Avishai, yeah.
All right. Yeah, now I know.
Yeah. It's my dad's from Israel, so it's Israeli.
Oh, okay.
And when his brother came over here in the late 70s, he just spelled it wrong in English because he didn't know how to spell it properly.
And that's it now.
And that's just me, my whole life being mispronounced. Fitting.
We'll start with where you came from, your origin story.
Yeah.
Where were you born specifically?
I was born in a suburb of Los Angeles called Northridge, California. Mm-hmm. Specifically, I was born in Tarzana Hospital. But I was born in Northridge, which at the end of the 30th anniversary is actually coming up. There's a massive earthquake in Northridge that is probably our big claim to fame.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a 7-point something.
That fault line.
Yeah, right on the San Andreas.
When did you leave California? Or did you were there up until high school?
I was there up until college.
College.
And then I went to college at this little liberal arts school in the Pacific Northwest called Reed College. Mm-hmm. Bunch of crazy people went there. Most notably, Steve Jobs went for a year and a half.
Where's Reed College?
It's in Portland.
Portland. Okay, yeah, that's right. You mentioned you're from Portland.
Yeah, so I spent 5 years in Portland.
Did you play music up there?
I did, so that's kind of... Well, I've always played music. Like one of my earliest memories is playing like this like little kid's nylon string guitar when I was like 2 years old that my grandmother got me. And I would just sit in front of the family and just strum. I have no idea what I was doing, but I would just strum and sing songs like The Farmer and the Dell. And then I remember writing songs as early as like 7 or 8 years old.
Nice.
I still remember them, which is embarrassing. When I was 13, 14, writing and teaching myself how to record, playing open mics and stuff. Moved to college, and I had a friend who held up Loveless by My Bloody Valentine and Psycho Candy by Jesus and Mary Chain and said in his lovely British accent, these are the two records you need. And that changed everything for me, and I started this band called Ghost Animal. It was recording it in my dorm room in the Reed College practice room, really lo-fi, loud, kind of fucked up shoegaze shit. Playing around Portland a bunch, we'd open for bands like the Dum Dum Girls, Veronica Falls, and then when it was time to leave Portland, I left that band behind, moved to L.A., and I started a band called Heathers, which is, in my mind, the closest I've ever gotten to any kind of success.
What do you mean? First of all, what year was this?
This was 2012. When I moved back to L.A.
Heathers.
Yeah.
And you said, because they kind of gathered a following?
We had a following locally, play a bunch of the DIY spots, opening for, big bands coming through. We opened for Viet Cong, who became Preoccupations later. It's probably one of the bigger ones we opened for. We had a manager, we had a lawyer. We started meeting with major labels, actually. Met with a Capitol subsidiary, met with Atlantic. And we never just didn't go anywhere. We toured a bunch. We took this band called Girlpool on their very first tour. Yeah, we did a UK tour with a couple cool bands that we were friends with. And then it all fizzled, and I moved to New York. So it seems to be a pattern of mine.
Well, I mean, bands, it's so hard to break that indie line. All performing arts, I feel like the gate is strange and weird, and sometimes even when you're crossing it, it feels like you're not even there.
Yeah.
Or, you know?
And a lot of it is just, I mean, there's a je ne sais quoi about it, you know, you have to have the right look. You have to have the right timing. You have to have the right vibe. You have to meet the right people in the right place. And sometimes that just doesn't happen.
You know?
And I've been resigned to that for quite some time, despite my best efforts. it's kept me in a day job.
So, but now you're working on your own with not band, just you.
Well, I got laid off on December 1st and was like, well, fuck this. I'm going to make a record. And made a record in 2 or 3 weeks. Sent it to a friend of mine named Corey in LA, who has a great band called Dog Ears, shout out. And he remixed it, kind of co-produced it with me, just yesterday he sent me like the last track, final mix. So record's done, getting it mastered. It's really exciting. I think it's the best collection of songs that I put together. So it's pretty cool.
Hell yeah. So you just like pushed it out. How many months is that? That's
Took me a couple weeks to record it and
yeah,
then a couple weeks to mix it pretty much.
Wow. All right.
I don't, once I start, I don't stop. Like I work really fast. I don't think that's a good or a bad thing. I just like, I edit as I go, I write as I go, and I just like, I try and I can't stop. Like once I get in the zone, like I'll sit there for 8 hours.
Wow.
You know, if I didn't just call it done, I would never, I'd just keep tweaking everything. And like, there's always something else I hear in my head that I think, fuck, I should have done that or, you know, but
yeah,
it's a document of a place and a time.
Did you, oh, well, I think we should hear a song. Do you have like a song from this album you wanted to?
Yeah, I've got all of them in my head. I mean,
which one do you want to do first?
We can start with the title track. It's called The Hour of the Star.
Yeah.
Which is the name of a book by a Brazilian writer, Clarice Lispector, who I really love.
And it's just Hour of the Star.
Yeah, just kind of phrased. Some of the things where I was just writing the song and the phrase just popped into my head as I was like, that's how the lyrics come. I just kind of let them form around the melodies. So, yeah, we can see if I can play it.
Yeah,
well, my voice has been a little shot lately, but this is how all the songs get written. Like I don't write anything in the studio, as it were. They all start as like an acoustic song, and then I arrange it as needed.
So I see you got a left-handed guitar.
I got a left-handed guitar. I was born with a sinister curse. Actually, it's a fun story. I started playing right-handed because I just didn't know any better. My mom had an acoustic guitar from when she was younger, so I just started playing that. It's like, why am I not getting any better? It's been like 6 months. I play every day. Went to a guitar center one day. And actually, I was in Seattle. And I went to the EMP, the Experimental Music Project. And I saw Kurt Cobain's left-handed Stratocaster. And all of a sudden, I was like, oh, maybe that's why I'm not getting any better. Because I'm left-handed. Went to a guitar center, picked up a left-handed guitar. And immediately, it was like within like 10 minutes, I was playing Here Comes the Sun. And I was like, oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, there
so,
you go.
There's the left-handed origin story. But it makes buying guitars really difficult. I went to a guitar center yesterday, and they had like one left-handed guitar in the entire store.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just a bummer.
Thin pickings.
Thin pickings. So, yeah, I can play Hour of the Star.
All right, let's hear it.
It's, you know, like everything on the record, it's a breakup song.
My heart is a broken apple. Your heart is a bit of fruit. Your love is more than I can handle. Play my pain like I want you to. But in the hour of the star, I'll meet you where you are. In the hour of the star, I'll meet you where you are. I'll see you in the dark. My love is a burning building. My love, you're a fire truck. I'm able but hardly willing. I'm trying, don't give a fuck. Cause in the hour of the star, I'll meet you where you are. In the hour of the star, I'll see you in the dark. I'll meet you in the dark, but your light won't guide me home. That's all right, I'm all alone. Cause in the hour of the star, I'll meet you where you are. In the hour of the star, I can see in the dark. In the hour of the star, I'll meet you where you are. In the hour of the star, I can see you in the dark. I see you for who you are. I see you for who you are. I see you for who you are.
All right. So that was inspired by a breakup and a Brazilian, what is it, writer, poet?
Yeah, less so inspired by her and more just I really like the sound of the title. It's just, you know, so the thinking, I guess, like, I read into the meaning of the lyrics after I write them, kind of.
Yeah.
So, like, Hour of the Star, kind of thinking, like, you know, in the middle of the night by the light of a star, which is already dim, you know, but even in that light, I see you for who you are, finally. You know, it's kind of like this realization that, like, you know, you're not who I thought you were, you know. And but also, like, kind of we're meeting in the middle, like, I'll meet you where you are, you know, that kind of thing. And yeah, I don't know. I love using, like, fruit as metaphors and imagery, like a heart as a broken apple.
Yeah.
You know, and then, like, bitter fruit. It's a phrase that occurs throughout the album on several different songs. There's even one called Bitter Fruit.
Yeah, Hour of the Star. So they're all breakup songs, huh? You'd say?
Yeah, for the most part. They're kind of like... They kind of run the gamut of different types of breakup songs, I think. There's one or two songs that aren't about... I won't say her name. That aren't about... She knows who she is. That aren't about her. There's one about another girl. There's one about... there's one called Foreign Tide, which maybe I'll play that one. That one's like a sweet little folk song. I wrote... This isn't... This, we were like... She like each other's first love. And I found out a couple years ago, 2 years ago, that she was getting married. And like, I, you know, it's someone that you'll... Like, I'll always love her in that way. You know, it's not like...
Nostalgia plays in that.
Yeah, totally. It's that... I mean, that first love is something that you never shake. You know, she'll always have a place in my heart. But it's not like I'm, like, carrying a flame anymore, you know. But, like, I just kind of
Inspired a song.
Yeah, I was, you know, just thinking about, like, I mean, the chorus is a little bit dark, but it's, like, you know.
Oh, let's, I don't know. Should we hear it?
Yeah, let me see. Yeah, I'll try to remember.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll make them up as I go. Because this one, the lyrics are all weird and abstract, so I always forget them. And it's the finger-picking style. It's I Don't Need to Be Shy. It's very inspired by Landslide.
Landslide?
Yeah, by Fleetwood Mac.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like the same.
The song, the picking style.
Yeah. All right, here's Foreign Tide.
You're wondering where the money goes. A rolled up 20 always up his nose. Picturing planets in your head, blue then red. I'm slipping around a modern love. Romance never hurts, but not enough. Memory clearly washed away, living strange. But if you get married, I think I'm gonna lose my fucking mind. I know you hate me, leave me on the rocks. I wanna die here on this foreign tide. Picturing planets in your mind. Oh, well, whatever, baby, never mind. Build me a fountain in your head. I'm better off dead. But if you get married, I think I'm gonna lose my fucking mind. I know you hate me. Leave me on the rocks, I wanna die here on this foreign tide. Here on this foreign tide.
Yeah. AIM screen name. That's funny because it turns into such a nice lyric or like the
I like that leave my heart out on the rocks kind of thing. Like, you know, I like that. It feels very evocative of an ocean as the storm starts brewing.
Yeah.
I think I flubbed a note in there, but we'll pretend like I didn't. Definitely mix some lyrics up, but that's fine. We don't have to
notice.
Admit that.
Maybe I'll notice when I'm editing, but
And then you know I love quoting other songs, like kind of dropping in lyrical references. It's like the first line, wondering where the money goes, rolled up 20, always up his nose. It's quite you know, we know what that's about, but there's the Beatles song Mean Mr. Mustard, where he says something about like keeps a 10-pound note up his nose, and I just kind of thought that that's like, you know, you just acknowledging some fucked up shit that you're doing that's contributing to the destruction of a relationship. Not that I was doing that, but I just, that concept is, I think, kind of interesting, you know, because a lot of breakup songs are like, you broke my heart, but how often do you really take ownership about what you contributed to it, you know?
Yeah. No, that's true. I mean, it's inspired by it. You weren't on the rocks in a foreign tide, but...
No. Although she did break up with me when I was in London, so I guess I was in foreign soil at the very least. That was devastating. Cried into my brother's arms.
Oh.
I was like 18.
Oh, yeah. It's all so big when you're 18.
I was so unmedicated, so, you know, I had so many emotions.
That too. That'll do it too.
Heartbreak.
Yeah.
It's the best thing to write about. It's healing and restorative and ameliorative and all those fucking words that I learned in college. It's a way of getting that pain and that anger and that heartbreak and that, you know, also that self-loathing and that hatred. And but also I think I really like it because it lets me look back and see the receipt of love, you know, because it's not about hatred. It's not about heart. It's about grief more than anything else. And grief is all of that in one. Grief is like grief is proof you've loved. You know, and part of like heartbreak is just grief. You carry an absence with you at all times, and you just kind of live with that.
I don't want to call them bruises. You call them etchings.
Etchings, I like that.
Etchings into your soul, kind of every little piece. Yeah.
To quote Billy Corgan, "Pink ribbon scars."
Pink ribbon scars.
Yeah.
Billy Corgan.
I know. I love the Smashing Pumpkins, man.
I mean, you know, what an era.
Yeah. I mean, Siamese Dream. Yeah. I could listen to that album top to bottom nonstop. Actually, there's a Smashing Pumpkins reference in one of the songs as well.
Oh, really?
Where I sing Play Me Melancholy on repeat.
I love that. I love when music references others' music.
So, like, that's something about this record that I really came to realize as I was writing it and recording it was there's this one song specifically called I-95 that embodies this, but it's also my love letter to everything that's inspired me and everything that informs the way that I look at the world and the music and the art that I love. So, like, it's also a love letter to, like, all of these bands that I love, you know, all these musicians who really shaped me and, you know, so I borrow phrases and borrow words and borrow concepts and, you know, like the line memories terribly leaked away is, it's a Sappho fragment. It's an ancient Greek poet. I feel like a collector of phrases and that kind of thing. You know, I'm just kind of paying tribute.
Painting pictures of pictures.
Exactly. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, kind of playing it back. And, you know, this one song, I-95, is all about, you know, I referenced the Beatles and the Replacements and Smashing Pumpkins and Dinosaur Jr. And, you know.
Should we listen to that one, too?
Yeah, we could do.
Why not?
I'll play every song in the album. I don't care. This one is... it's huge on the record. This is like the kind of, I think this is like the centerpiece of the album. It's track four. It's the one we struggled with the most to get the vocals to sit right. Fuck, I hope I remember the lyrics. Well, we'll see. So yeah, it's called I-95 parentheses Learning to Drive. And it's, a love letter to a lot of bands I love. And also I have friends in Philly. So I've spent a lot of time on the I-95. But it also has my favorite lyric I've ever written. Which is, I could be a better man if I had wings and better plans, a better head and a better heart to beat. Which I was talking about that line in therapy a couple weeks ago and teared up. I'm such a closed book. Okay, let's try this out. I-95. Listening to underground, never could replace me now. Begging in my heart to let it be.
If I could find a way to drive forever down I-95, I'd never give you up or set you free. I left to die, but right on time. Darkness looks good in your eyes. Dinosaur afraid to never die. Hold me close, I hold my tongue. Dream until I get you off. Dreaming that I'll wake up every night. I'm learning how to waste my time. Forever is an honest lie. A fever dream, I play it on repeat. Forever, never long enough to shift the shame to honest love. Sunshine, shy away from me. If I could just slow down. A player with the played out plan, learner's permit in your hand. Kiss the golden grass beneath your feet. Never late or right on time. Heaven, heavy angel eyes. Play me melancholy on repeat. But I believe in everyone. Shooting shadows in the sun. Come around, show me what you see. And I could be a better man. If I had wings and better plans, a better head, a better heart to be. If I could just slow down, then I'd slow down. I'm learning to drive. I try not to die. I'm learning to drive I-95. I'm hoping that I figure out how to fly, or I'm gonna die I-95. I'm listening to underground. Never could replace you now. Begging of my heart to let you go.
All right, I love the hook, the off the hook finish.
Oh, thank you.
Always gets me.
Yeah, we love a coda.
But yeah, I-95, we've all been on it waiting for cars to move.
Oh my god. That when you end up on the turnpike,
yeah,
like, and there's just like, you go through the easy pass and there's like 10 lanes that are all converging into two, and you're on, yeah, the far left and you gotta go north or whatever. It's chaos.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I-95,
just learning to drive, you know.
Just learn to drive.
Could be a metaphor, I suppose. I don't know.
I think it's a metaphor for something.
You know, it's funny. That song was, it wasn't me driving 95, but for some reason, there was this girl I was seeing for a minute and who lived in Princeton. And I was going back and forth. I would just hop on the New Jersey Transit. And for some reason, I started thinking about her while I was writing that song. Like, I had the chords figured out, kind of. And for some reason, I was thinking about the idea of going through this corridor, you know, going back and forth constantly and trying to figure out who you are and learn who you are. And, you know, think like, you know, like I'm fucking up every which way I go, and I'm fucking up along this corridor. This area represents just ping ponging back and forth from shitty thing to shitty thing.
You can feel that in this song because it's like
melancholic.
Melancholic, like kind of lost sorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the on record, it's got these huge, huge kind of, I just keep calling them like loveless guitars, you know, these huge kind of My Bloody Valentine guitars that, at a certain point towards the end, they all kind of come crashing down, and it's just kind of supposed to sound like a car crash.
Oh, wow.
Like the entire thing kind of screeching to a halt, and then that very last bit where it goes back to the first verse, is just everything else cuts out, and it's just me and a acoustic guitar, and you know, to kind of, I don't know, it just comes back to that vulnerability. You know, it starts and ends with just solo vulnerability.
Well, I can't wait to hear it. The symphonic accompaniment to the album.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot going on there.
Yeah,
a lot of backup vocals, a lot of guitars, a lot of synths.
So, what's the timeline for the album? You said it's getting mastered right now.
It's getting mastered end of the month by this great mastering engineer named Carl Saff, who's mastered everything that I've created. And then I really don't know, honestly. I have a list of people that I'm going to send it to, just friends from, you know, old heads from the old days, and
get some peer review,
just get like old Heathers fans excited about it, because I'm releasing it under the name Michael Francis, which is the name I used in Heathers. It feels like a restart, you know, but there's some labels that I really love, labels like Slumberland.
Is there stuff at place for the listener to find more information?
At the moment, there isn't, but well, maybe by the time this is done, there will be.
Your old stuff, son.
Yeah. So the old stuff, you can look, it's all on Spotify, Ghost Animal. There's one record on Spotify called Summertime in Heaven, which I'm still pretty proud of. Heathers is up there. There's a ton of bands named Heathers, unsurprisingly. So we're the ones with three goofy looking dudes on a Bushwick roof wearing dresses and smoking cigarettes.
Well, if you want, I could post those in the description.
Yeah, yeah. I'll send you the link for that. Yeah. And then follow me on Twitter at Michael Avishai, and I will post about it.
Yeah.
I wish that it was something ready to go.
No, but it's exciting, period, to be like, you've already done all the work.
Yeah, it's just getting it mastered and releasing it, basically. I'm already halfway through recording a second album.
Wow. Well, thanks for doing the podcast with me.
Yeah, Bob, thanks for having me. It's great.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
It's been fun.
I'll come back anytime.
Thanks for listening. This was Songs from a Room. Thank you to Ben Shapiro for providing all the theme music. Any inquiries, just email us at songsfromaroompodcast@gmail.com. Stay tuned, dialed up, and downloaded for the next episode. Bye.